The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire, Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
Hi, this is Tim Taggart. The program is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. Today we have Reed and Diane Robinson. President Robinson just returned as mission president of the West Indies Mission. We're so glad that we can have you with us today in the studio, both of you today.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, you just returned a few weeks ago from your mission. I bet it's still a tender thing in your heart to think about the experience and the missionaries that are still going on without you there.
It is, in fact. We haven't even been home 2 months, and there's not a day that goes by where we don't think about what it was like and how we wish we were back there.
Yeah, and the same thing is true after 10 years, by the way.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourselves and about your family, your children and your occupation, that sort of thing.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about our family. We have five children. Four of them are married, and they're scattered throughout the Salt Lake area, Provo area, and up into Boise. When we left for our mission, we had 10 grandchildren, 8 granddaughters and 2 grandsons. When we came home, we had 15 grandchildren, 8 granddaughters and 7 grandsons. We had five baby boys born in 2008.
Wow.
So we consider them our little future missionary army that are coming out.
And that's the real sacrifice of being a mission president. There aren't really many sacrifices. It's such a joy, but not being able to be around the grandkids and there when they're born, that's a sacrifice.
Yeah, we met 5 new little boys when we came home.
What a thrill.
Yeah, it was wonderful, though. It was absolutely worth any sacrifice we made to serve a mission as we did.
Absolutely.
It was wonderful.
And your background a little bit.
A little bit about the background is we met at Brigham Young University and then went to graduate school in Chicago at Northwestern, and I came back and worked for O.C. Tanner Company. I was sent to Toronto to open up their Canadian operation, and we raised our children there in Toronto for 16 years. Then I came to BYU in 1998, working in alumni relations, and then we were called on the mission. My wife was working on her doctorate. She had just finished her doctorate degree 2 days before going in the MTC and was probably the only mission president wife who felt relieved to be actually leaving.
That's true.
That's great. I appreciate that. Well, the West Indies Mission, I'm sure, isn't familiar to that many members of the church just because there aren't that many missionaries. In Brazil, we have 10% of all the missions of the world, and many people know about it. Tell us a little bit about the mission, about the countries that are there, and about the people.
Well, the first thing is that when a missionary opens his call to go to the West Indies, the first impression or reaction is, where is this located and how close is it to the coast of India? Then the family runs for the map and realizes, hey, wait a minute. Our son has been called to the Caribbean. It's called the West Indies Mission, and it's stretches from St. Martin in the north going down to 3 countries in South America, French Guiana, Suriname, and Guyana. Mm-hmm. So we have 10 countries in the mission with members and branches and districts. We went out without any stakes in that mission, and there was a stake created there last March.
Terrific.
There are 3 languages. French is spoken by 26 of the missionaries. Dutch is spoken by 18 of the missionaries, and the rest of the missionaries, there's 126 in total, speak English. We came out with 6 couples. When we came home, there were 26 couples. So
fabulous.
That's a phenomena in that mission. There are 6 currencies, just out of curiosity, so you can know that whoever the senior couple is handling finances is pulling out their hair, trying to balance between all those currencies. But it's a fabulous place in the world. The members are very close to the spirit, and as are the investigators. They see missionaries in dreams. Now, one of the fun things that just happened this month is that the West Indies Mission received its first sister missionaries.
Terrific.
And they have a team there now, and I understand that more sister missionaries will be following.
Great. Sister missionaries are tremendous.
We asked for them for the full 3 years that we were there.
That's great. We love them. Well, it sounds like an interesting challenge, quite a bit of travel, it sounds like, language. Do you speak of a different language than English?
I served my mission in the France mission.
Oh.
Smith B. Griffin and his wife were the mission president couple, and my heart is still in Paris, France. I love the France mission and the French language, and so I believe that's one of the reasons that we are assigned to the West Indies.
It's one of the blessings of being able to say, like so many senior couples now, in my first mission, and hopefully many more to follow.
We have a great story about that. My wife has maintained a blog for the missionary parents the entire time that we were gone, and she does a slideshow that we would show at each zone conference featuring the missionaries at work and the baptisms that they were experiencing. And this slideshow was viewed by so many people that my favorite comment came from an 11-year-old boy in California who watched the slideshow and then looked at his mother and said, "Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a couple missionary in the West Indies mission."
That's great.
So forget this 19-year-old mission. Just go straight for the good one.
That's terrific. Well, you've talked a little bit about couples and about your growth of couples. What's been your experience with senior missionaries and their impact in the mission field?
I believe that the senior missionaries are the secret weapon to success of the West Indies mission, and I would think any other mission for that matter. When we went to this mission, we were told by one of the brethren that we are going to the impossible mission. He said, senior couples, there aren't very many there, and a mission president couple just can't do it all. You'll be on the road constantly, and it's going to be quite a challenge. He had just toured the mission. I can't say enough about the good that these couples do, 24/7, on the job, loving people into the gospel and shepherding missionaries.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
So many of the senior couples, when they come, feel inadequate and, you know, are afraid they're not going to measure up, not realizing that their tools that they bring are so wonderful, the ability to love people and to shepherd them in the kingdom. And the impact on the young missionaries as well. One of the things that the senior couples don't realize is what a blessing it is to have that association with the young people and for the rest of their lives, those friendships and that sort of thing.
That's true. We found that the wedding invitations and the new baby announcements are now going to the senior couples before they get to us. And that's just fine because we love that relationship that they've developed.
Yeah.
It is a sweet thing, and we're so grateful to those couples that served.
That's marvelous.
They some of those, the couples have had some very special blessings come into their lives through service, almost miracles, particularly concerning things at home. Some of them go out with some worries and some burdens, some concerns, maybe a wayward child. And over and over again, we saw that during their service, the Lord saw fit to send special blessings into their families. And we've seen wayward children turn around. In fact, one went from being a lost child to being married in the temple.
Wow.
Just during an 18-month mission.
The Lord really does take care of his servants.
He really does.
It really is true. And it's true of mission presidents, too.
That's right.
I bet you saw blessings in your lives that you didn't anticipate from your service.
Starting with those five baby boys born last year.
Yeah. a whole basketball team and a whole future district in
that's
the
right.
mission field.
That's right.
That's wonderful.
We've already decided to go on a mission when those five babies go out.
Terrific.
We're going to keep our health good and be preparing to leave with them.
Talk a little bit about your work with the districts. In that case, you function really as the stake president in as well as the mission president, and get to sign temple recommends and do interviews and watch over the ecclesiastical affairs. Tell them a little bit about that experience.
Well, one of the fun things about that experience was the fact that before we went, this same general authority who had counseled us on couples said, now, when you get out there, I've just heard that mission, don't recreate the Bountiful Third Ward. And when we shared that feeling and that statement with our family, every one of our children said, can we go visit the Bountiful Third Ward? We thought that was kind of funny. But what he meant was the growing, developing church does not need all the programs in the established church along the Wasatch Front. And so we took to heart Elder Perry's counsel about the basic unit program and actually did away with the curriculum that the members were using at the time and went to the basic unit program. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't have the gospel doctrine lesson manual. What they had was the gospel principles manual. Mm-hmm. And then for priesthood, they had duties of the priesthood, part A and part B, and for Relief Society, the Latter-day Saint woman, part A and B. And so we shifted to the basic unit program and had members and investigators alike in learning experiences and had a terrific experience with the basic unit program. I found that teaching gospel doctrine and principles and founding and grounding all the teachings on that is something that really helped establish the church in the West Indies.
That's terrific. What kind of growth have you experienced in the mission over the course of your experience and in the past?
Well, the mission experienced some great growth in 2006. That was our first year. Mm-hmm. They had about 600 baptisms at the end of the year.
Wow.
And then in 2007, it went to 1,000, a little over 1,000.
Wow.
And then in 2008, it went to 2,000.
That's fantastic.
A little over 2,000. And then so far this year, they've surpassed 1,000 so far this year. So they're on track for
Amazing.
2009. And so it's just wonderful.
That's tremendous.
Experience.
That's incredible.
We saw tremendous growth in membership, particularly in the country of Guyana in mm-hmm. South America. People there seem to be very ready for the gospel and embracing it quickly when the missionaries teach them. And so a number of new branches have been created. And didn't you divide the district? You reorganized the districts so that they
We combined the districts to make it look like a stake,
mm-hmm.
because in order to have a stake, it needs to look and feel like a stake for at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took the two districts that were in Georgetown, Guyana, and combined them into one. We had done the same thing in Trinidad, and then after a year, the brethren approved the creation of the first stake in the West Indies.
Marvelous. So. And there are things that happen with a stake. There's just a spirit that begins to occur as the members take charge of the ecclesiastical responsibility and grow in that.
Well, we need to tell you an experience. Why don't you share the one about what it was like in Trinidad when Elder Anderson asked them to sustain the stake?
It was a wonderful experience. I've never, of course, been anywhere where a stake was created. And we were privileged to be there in that meeting, as were many of the members in Trinidad, a large meeting. We had a rented facility, and we all gathered together. And what I didn't realize was that you actually sustain a stake.
Hmm.
You stand to sustain a stake.
Just like it's a person. Huh.
And at the moment that Elder Anderson asked us all to stand and raise our arms and sustain that stake, many, many of us felt an electricity go through our bodies at that moment. It was almost as if the keys of the priesthood descended in Trinidad at that moment, and you felt it.
Wow.
It was a powerful moment. I'll never, ever forget that. And it's so wonderful. And one of the exciting things is to see the, as you mentioned, the Trinidad saints step up and take charge.
Yeah.
And one of the sweetest experiences of our mission was occurred with one of the members of the district presidency, and I think you can tell that the best.
One of our assistants, the first year we were there, was finishing his mission, and he was from Trinidad. He finished his mission in March of 2007. Shortly after his mission, he was married to a beautiful young lady in this Dominican Republic temple. and she had a child who was sealed to them. And he was quickly called into the district presidency. Well, when this stake was created, he was called to be the first counselor in the state presidency.
Wow.
So one of the sweet moments that I'll always remember is sitting on the stand in our home ward next to this young man, and they recognized him as presiding at the meeting, gave him the sacrament. And to think back that in our short memory of just being in there, this young man who had been one of our missionaries was now the presiding authority in a ward where we attended. And normally that type of experience you would think about if you came back to your mission several years later, but we were able to have that experience.
What a thrill. And it's the joy of parenting almost.
Right.
I mean, you feel the joy and satisfaction of that success. And there isn't anything that's better for preparing leadership than a mission experience.
Yeah, that was fun.
I bet you see that growth among many of the locals. How many of the young people from the mission are able to serve missions, and do most of them serve within the mission, or do many of them go elsewhere?
It's almost 50-50 now that missionaries from the West Indies are going to – so many times there's visa problems, and that's a real concern. And then if they were originally called to the States and the visa doesn't work out, then they were reassigned.
Mm-hmm.
But many of them are called to the Caribbean area somewhere and learn Spanish.
Uh-huh.
But in our own mission, we had at least five that were our local elders who had been submitted their papers. And I think we can do that easily because of the number of countries, because they don't necessarily have to serve the entire time in their own country. But it's exciting. We have about 20 missionaries that are local that are out serving at any given time.
So. Terrific.
Those first two sisters serving in the West Indies that were just arrived this last month, they are both from the West Indies, one from Trinidad and one from Guyana.
They're serving in St. Lucia right now, so you see you can be in a different country.
Yeah,
and they're so excited. It's just wonderful to see the pictures of their faces as they start their service.
And they'll have an impact. Yeah, there's just a miracle that occurs with all of the aspects of what you're talking about, that while you were there for a full 3 years, that's really a snapshot in time of a growth that will continue for decades to come.
Right.
We hope so.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful. One area that we've actually experienced a quick snapshot of rapid growth is a new area that was opened in Guyana just before we left. It's called Linden.
Mm.
It's a wonderful city there. I think it's the second largest city in Guyana. And President Robison was able to open it a few months before we left, and it went from brand new open to within, I think, 2 months, they had 150 people attending church, the majority of them investigators. And the big challenge, of course, is helping find priesthood leaders so that a group that size can be led properly.
Yeah.
But they're well on their way to growing into probably the third stake in Guyana in Linden.
That's terrific. And that day will certainly come. You know, it doesn't seem like a long time ago to me. One of my good high school buddies, John Rapley, working for Firestone, was transferred to the Dominican Republic, found another member family, and really began the formal church in Dominican Republic. And
now they have a temple
there.
And 80% of the members of the Caribbean area are in the Dominican Republic.
So it's amazing how this thing happens. And sometimes members who live in a ward that's an older ward here in Utah or in the Wasatch Front or in California or Arizona may not have this sense of massive growth that's occurring in the church, but it's growth within individuals, which combined together leads to that ecclesiastical growth.
It really does.
It's a blessing and it's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. I think of some of the primary organizations in some of the areas of Guyana and how many children want to come to church. They are just so attracted to the love they feel at church, to the spirit they feel, to the organized lessons they receive. And they come out of the neighborhoods. They just flock to church. And it's very, very difficult to be organized. And the members are new, and they're learning how to be diligent in their callings and dependable. And that takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But it's happening.
Yeah.
And it's happening a lot quicker, I think, than many of us realize because we see it every single day. But when you step back, I think people are growing tremendously. Yeah. And there are sweet, sweet people in the West Indies, very spiritual people, very visionary people.
And that's where that real growth comes from, is that you have people of faith who find the truth and then commit themselves to it.
Exactly. Right.
Talk a little bit about your experience with the missionaries. You have young people at 19 years old that are coming into the mission field to serve and going home almost as mature men and sisters as well. Talk a little bit about that experience.
Well, to me, that's one of the great miracles of the church. To take a young man at the age of 19 who knows quite a bit about skateboarding and very little about planning, and then to drop him into a situation where every minute of the day is planned, where he's on his knees pleading for direction, and where he is giving counsel about marriage, about careers, about the saving ordinances of the gospel, and you think, who was this man just a year ago? And look at him today. These elders who go to their knees to seek Heavenly Father's direction and who are strictly obedient get that direction, and they make a tremendous impact. We are so grateful for the association we've had with these young men. They did not seem like sons. They seemed more like peers. Yeah. Giants in 19-year-old bodies, but they were just terrific. I mean, when I hear of their faith and diligence from the way that they talk to one another and their sincerity, one thing that excited me was every time they would check in with each other on the phone, they would end by saying, "Love you." When they'd get together for zone leader council or for zone conference, it was a hugging fest. The band of brothers that was created in that mission and the level of obedience that they had continues to overwhelm me with gratitude. I'm just so grateful for the association we had with those young men.
And that's where the miracles come from.
It does.
Our program today is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart, and we're visiting with Reed and Diane Robison, recently returned from the West Indies Mission as Mission President. We're grateful for this opportunity today. Share a little bit, if you would, about some of the spiritual experiences and the miracles that you've seen and experienced among the members and the missionaries while you've been gone.
Well, let me just introduce it with one, and then my wife has a series of small vignettes that I think would be fun to hear of a few of. But I remember talking with the missionaries and Sister Robison often about the fact that the people there are so visionary, or they're dreamers. They dream that they see two men dressed in white shirts coming down their lane and with a message for them, and then the next day those two men come. And they tell the young men, "I knew you'd come. Hmm. I prayed you here. I've dreamed about you last night." One experience happened in a newly created area called Tobago. We had not had missionaries in Tobago for 10 years. And these missionaries were approached by a lady saying, "I'm taking my sister home in this car. Wait right here. I'll come back." Well, they didn't know if she was goofy or not. And when she didn't come in 15 minutes, they just kind of continued on their way. Well, this lady had had a dream the night before. Hmm. And she had dreamed that she saw two young men standing by a bridge outside of a building. And in that building, there were some women being instructed in white dresses by another woman. Hmm. And so she went up to some local men and said, "Who are those young men?" And they said, "Oh, they're Mormons, and they're here teaching people." And she said, "Well, what are they teaching them about?" And the person said, "Well, they're teaching them how to be closer to God." So the next day, she sees those two young men by the bridge, by a building that was similar to the one she saw in her dream. And so when the elders weren't there waiting for her, after because she was a little late in getting back to him, she tracked them down. And she said, what's the name of your church? And they said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And she said, oh, I'm looking for the Mormons. And they said, well, we are known by that too. And so then they taught her, and I gave her a baptism interview. And I found that that type of experience was frequent. These wonderful people are so close to the Spirit that they see visions and have experiences of that which is to come.
That's marvelous.
In our mission, we ask the elders present, Robison asked the elders to share a success story every week. And I think that helped lift them up. And some of them mentioned that that helped them begin to notice the hand of the Lord in their mm-hmm. work more fully. And they would email that to President Robison, and they agreed to share that. And so he would share them with me. And the assistants would take them and send some of them back so everyone could read them. But I've been collecting those and reviewing them, and there's some marvelous stories. And one that reflects this idea of how visionary the people are is a sister who was being taught by the missionaries, and the elders shared a scripture from the Doctrine and Covenants. Now, of course, missionaries generally give their investigators a copy of the Book of Mormon, and they don't know anything about the Doctrine and Covenants for a little while. And they shared a scripture, and she said, where's that from? And they said, that's from the Doctrine and Covenants. And she explained to them that she'd had a dream about a month ago, and in her dream, there was no room for her in her church. So she went to the church next door, and in that church, they were teaching from a book, and that book was called The Doctrine and Covenants. Huh. So she knew immediately that something very special was happening.
That's marvelous.
There's another miracle that I just love. It was a story of the elders, one of those days when they just didn't know where to go and what to do. They couldn't figure out who to teach, so they opened up their area book, which is a great resource that mm-hmm. missionaries tend to overlook. And they paged through, and they felt impressed to look for a certain man and identified his name. His name was, well, I'll leave his name out, but a certain man, and they identified him by name, and they tried to call him, and the number that was in the area book was no longer working. So they gave up on that name, and they went walking out into the streets and began to contact people. And as they were contacting people, a little girl came up to them. She was 9 years old, and she asked them a very sweet question, very sincerely. She said, who is God? And the elders took a moment, and they talked to her a little bit about who is God. And bore their testimony to her. And then the little girl looked up to them and said, do you know my father? And the elder said, no, what's his name? And she gave the name that they had been hunting for in their area book that morning. And they were able to go with her, meet her father, taught him the gospel, and he was excited and ready.
Isn't that? And there's no way on earth that is coincidence.
No.
That's the hand of the Lord touching people's lives and moving the work.
That's right, bringing them to that little girl, yeah. And that little girl speaking up and asking them that question that very morning that they'd been looking for her father.
And as a mission president, I'm sure you felt that same kind of a spiritual influence as you moved missionaries around, as you assigned companionships, and as you made those transfers and changes within the mission as well.
We did. In fact, sometimes it would be quite a tearful experience where an elder would be changed, and I would not know why. But then looking back, we see that the hand of the Lord was there directing it all along.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense.
It does not sometimes, but sometimes it does.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that the Lord knows his missionaries. One of the most fascinating things to me was selecting trainers. Mm-hmm. We're not in a mission where you can interview an elder and then say, okay, here's where you're going to serve and who your trainer's going to be. That process had to be done by looking at their missionary application, applying for the visa for their country, and then when they would arrive in the mission home, we would have a special dinner and tell them where they would be serving. And time again, we would see these trainers that they're put with. I couldn't have done it with my own logic.
Yeah.
But I know that the Lord knows they needed to be trained by that person.
And yeah.
That's a great testimony to me.
And you know, so often parents don't see that side of things, but Heavenly Father knows their children and takes care of them.
He does.
And as a mission president, you get to be a part of that miracle. And as a mission mom, you see that every day. In fact, sometimes if missionary mothers knew the quality of the mission mom and how much they cared and were interested in those missionaries, they would relax a lot more.
I hope so. Although if they knew all the things that their sons were doing on their mission, they might not relax quite so much.
That's true.
It's a little bit frightening to see them walking out at night sometimes, talking to people. But we have had miracle after miracle testify to us that the Lord does watch over and send his angels to walk beside these missionaries.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times there's been things that could have happened that didn't, that should have happened and didn't because they were protected. Both us serving in our service, we've been protected, and those young elders over and over again protected.
Where the hand of the Lord is watching over them, guiding them in their actions and taking care of them as they do it. What's the principal way of finding people to teach in your mission?
Well, it's a fun thing in Suriname. It's called clopping, where they go to the outside the gate and they yell clop clop,
which means knock knock.
Knock knock. And then in Trinidad and in Guyana, they stand outside the gate and yell inside.
Huh.
And so I would say. They follow the admonition of Elder Ballard to talk to 10 people that they normally wouldn't talk to in a day, and they report that. And then in Guyana, the reason for the success, I believe, is because of member referrals.
Mm-hmm.
They just have a tremendous outreach happening in Guyana with referrals.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the mission, it's kind of like you hear about Europe and other places where you there's quite a bit of tracting, but in this case, it's stand outside a gate and yell.
Something interesting happened in our mission statistically, and I happen to love numbers, and so I would watch this, but it illustrates the importance of members and the importance of their work in helping the missionaries. Really, we looked at it in that the members were in charge of missionary work, and the missionaries were there to help.
Yeah.
And in about halfway through the first year of our mission, I saw some lines on a graph cross, and I will explain that. And that was that we had quite a few new investigators in our mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next piece of data we track is how many lessons are taught with a member present.
Uh-huh.
And generally, there will be a higher number of new investigators than there are lessons taught with a member present, because that's an indicator of member work.
Yeah.
About partway through the first year of our mission, those lines crossed. Mm. And we ended up having more of those lessons with members present than new investigators, which told me that we were getting multiple lessons.
Yeah.
And at that time, our mission started baptizing.
Yeah.
That's when those elders began to find success. That's when people began to come into the church more readily.
Yeah.
And it was the impact of the members.
That's powerful.
They were inviting their friends. They were sitting in with the lessons. Or they were meeting new friends and having the chance to be part of the work. And it made a big difference in the West Indies.
It helps so much when they're helping resolve their concerns and sharing their own testimonies and relate to them.
What can a 19-year-old teach about paying tithing when you're a family who's struggling and has children and has obligations, but yet a member who's been through it and experienced the miracles of paying tithing can testify?
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference.
That's marvelous.
Yeah.
Well, this program is Into All the World. We're on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart, and we've been visiting with Reed and Diane Robison, recent return mission president of the West Indies Mission. Sister Robison, would you share your testimony with us as we wind down? And then, President, we'd love to hear your testimony in conclusion.
Well, thank you for asking. I must say that my testimony is deepened during the mission. I'm a convert to the church, and so I gained a testimony of the church when I was 19 years old, being taught by two young elders myself. And I had a wonderful spiritual experience that helped me know that this was indeed the Lord's church. But on the mission, I had the chance to see his hand clearly, to see how he loves his people all over the world, everywhere, to see the preparation of the hearts of people as the Spirit works upon them. It's very obvious and very clear, something I could never deny. And to see his love that he has for all of us, every single one of us, his missionaries, his leaders, but above all, his sweet, sweet sons and daughters who don't have the gospel. To see the change that comes into people's lives as they embrace the gospel helps me know that it is indeed true. It changes lives. It brings happiness in this life, and it brings the hope of happiness forever. I have to share a phrase that I heard one of the elders shared in a testimony about one of the new members, what they said about embracing the gospel. This lady said, I am really, really extremely happy, seriously. And that really says it. The gospel makes people really, really extremely happy, seriously. It made me happy on the mission. I had such a wondrous opportunity to serve the Lord and to learn of Him through the Spirit, of His love, of His kindness, of His goodness, of His desire to reach out and bless the lives of others. I have a testimony that this is indeed His church, that we have living prophets who guide us, that Joseph Smith was a prophet, that he did indeed receive the keys to restore the gospel and establish the church in these last days. And I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and through His atoning sacrifice, we can become what we need to become, that we can be eternally happy. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I would like to add my testimony to that of my companions. I'm so grateful for the experience that we together have had for the past 3 years in serving with the wonderful people and missionaries of the West Indies Mission. I'm grateful for the restoration of the gospel in these, the latter days. I'm grateful for the Book of Mormon. I've seen the Book of Mormon work miracles in the lives of people. One of the most fascinating experiences we had with that occurred in Trinidad when we had done reach out visits and we wanted to have the application to become a stake just in the perfect order. But the numbers in one of the branches in Trinidad weren't quite what we wanted it to be. So we challenged the members to read the Book of Mormon by the end of September last year. And the attendance went up by over 60% through that experience. It is the conversion tool of the gospel. The Book of Mormon changes hearts. It's the way to get closer to God than any other book that possibly exists. It's the way I know that Joseph Smith was indeed the prophet of the Restoration. I know that President Monson is the living prophet today and receives revelation and direction to guide this church and this wonderful missionary program. I know that the gospel has been restored on the earth and it blesses lives by all those who embrace it and who are obedient to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. If they do that, they will be Spirit-driven. And if they are Spirit-driven, they can become closer to our Father in heaven, is my witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. President Sister Robison, it's been such a delight to visit today. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart.
You have been listening to Into All the World.